Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey. I'm the Padres beat writer for the San Diego Union-Tribune. I'm in Peoria, Arizona. My boss, sports editor Jay Posner, back in San Diego, which is where the Padres are from. We'll not be back there for another 5 weeks, Jay. We're 1 week in. 1 week since pitchers and catchers reported. As we talked about last week, though, position players, a lot of them have been here. I mean, well before, and a lot more of them well before in previous years. Working with the new coaches, trying to impress the new manager.
Is that a sign? Is that a sign, Kevin? Should we read a lot into that? Is that a really big deal now that everybody's excited to be there? And that's going to add, what, 5 wins, 10 wins? Come on, give us something here.
You made my point. I was going to say, they say that every day. I've mentioned it in a story or two, but you just learned you're not going to make that big a deal out of it. I will say that Bobby Dickerson, the new infield coach, technically the bench coach, those Skip Schumacher associate manager will actually be the bench coach. And then outfield coach, base running coach, and first base coach, Wayne Kirby. Just their energy, their voices, they have brought something new to the team. No idea, Jay, what that's going to mean. But I will say this. They have shown why they were brought in. We all know about the end of last season. Where did Manny go? What was wrong? Management does believe that he basically quit on the season. Eric Hosmer, guilty of a little bit of the same. They think, these are not my words, but theirs. These are two guys making a lot of money. They are responding. These are Manny's former coaches from Baltimore. They speak Manny. They don't take anything, right? And it's just a fact. You got to figure out how to talk to kids, and you got to figure out how to talk to kids who are millionaires. Drive Rolls Royces to the complex.
I have that problem as a department leader, trying to talk to kids, maybe not so much kids, but people who are millionaires here in the department. When I'm plugging along for my $12 an hour and everybody else is raking in the money. So I know exactly what they're going through. I'm not sure which one of you is Manny and which one's Hosmer, and I certainly don't know and I don't know which one's Will Myers that we're trying to trade as well.
I'll tell you this, I'm swole as hell.
You're what?
I'm swole as hell. So I must be Manny.
I had the flu for like a week or two, so I'm less swole than ever. But that's a good thing, because I was way too swole in a bit in a bad way. But anyway, tell us about Manny Machado being swole as hell, as he put it, and what that might mean. It seems like Manny's physical condition wasn't really the problem last year. I mean, for 4 months. He was Manny Machado. He put up, he was hitting .280, and his OPS was, I don't know, .850 or whatever it was, and maybe even a little higher than that. And he was playing pretty good defense. And then it seemed like that it wasn't physical, as you mentioned earlier. It was more mental as to what happened. Right. But physically, how much different does he look? Is he in the best shape of his life? Is what everybody
wants to know. That is Manny. See, swole as hell is Manny for best shape of my life.
Okay.
So
I
think that's kind of cool. And he is. He's leaner. I would say that he's toned, and perhaps maybe those arms are a little bigger. That's not what matters. Manny's never been extremely buff. He's always had a big, a little thick midsection. It's a part of what makes him who he is. But in his mind, right, he started working out a month earlier. He has a personal chef eating clean, all this. Hey, if that helps Manny, awesome. I think that the concern was more that, and I've talked to other players, because you wonder to yourself, wait a minute, why was being a free agent and like having to be on the phone with your agent for a few hours a day, maybe take a few trips and worrying? I get all that, but why did that keep you from being in shape and ready for the season? And I've talked to, former players, veterans over the last, year or whatever, because Manny started talking about it a little bit last year. And they do say that mentally it is. It's like you don't know where you're going to be, and it is a little bit off-putting. Okay, fine. Well, now season two, and Manny says he here to, you know, but he's going to, he's still Manny Machado. And so, well, look, we got four more weeks or five more weeks to talk about what, in this manner, which is, you know, Manny's one of those guys. He's not competing for a job. He's getting ready for the season. We'll see. Hey, show us. Show us next July. Show us next August and September. You know, what all good this did for you, Manny.
Okay, and as you said, I mean, whatever Manny does in spring and you know, yeah, what a lot of these guys do in spring, it was like we talked about with Myers last week, it's really pretty irrelevant. I mean, the biggest thing is just getting healthy bodies to Petco in the next 5 weeks and having, uh-huh, you know, pitchers build up innings and that sort of thing. I wanted to bring up the other side of the infield, and you mentioned Eric Hosmer. Where do things stand? And you wrote something that went online earlier today about if Will Myers is dealt, and man, the Padres are trying like hell, it looks like, to get rid of Will Myers. But if Will Myers is dealt, that does change things a little bit in terms of a plan, sort of that they were going to play Myers a little more at first. Sounded like give Hosmer a few more days off. What happens to that plan if Myers is dealt? Do Josh Naylor is like Hosmer in terms of being a left-handed,
yep,
hitter. Is there anybody else a right-hander that you can see being used sometimes at first base?
Sure, Ty France. I mean, okay, I don't know what that means to you. I mean, Ty France is not only now working behind the plate, getting the bulk of his work at third base and first base. They want to, you know, it looks like they want to give him every opportunity to be one of the utility guys. And, you know, look, his splits, he was actually better against righties last year in, what was it, 100 plate appearances, you know, his rookie season. So
yeah, I wouldn't read much into 100
right
appearances. So
right. So I didn't look in AAA, but since his OPS was like 4,000 in AAA, then you know, we don't want to read into that either. So
right.
I don't know. But now Will Myers, make lighter whatever of like, you know, I write that plan B would be out the window. Because plan A is for Eric Hosmer to do like he has done in a few seasons, I believe 15, 17, and he has hit lefty.
Uh-huh.
But since he's been a Padre, he certainly hasn't. And most of his career, he hasn't been great against lefties. He's been almost horrible against lefties for the Padres. Plan A would be like, but hey, great, we want Eric Hosmer to play 157 games. Plan B would be Will starts to play more first base against lefty pitchers, because for whatever Will struggles have been, the guy pretty much crushes left-handed pitching. His OPS is well over 800, and you know that's what Will does. So there's plan B. Now, you say they're trying to unload Will. They certainly are, and that is because, well, they'll try to tell you, well, the best-case scenario is Will plays like Will can. No, the best-case scenario is you clear space on your payroll so you can get a future Hall of Fame shortstop at Francisco Lindor. So that's what the best case is. Now, is that going to all work out? Look, people don't even know if the Indians are really serious or if they're going to be serious until, you know, you're a little bit into the season. The Padres are pursuing, whether that's in a three-team trade or you know, somehow a separate deal, Nick Senzel from Cincinnati to play center field. That would certainly shake things up, wouldn't it? Trent Grisham right now is supposed to be the center fielder. But, hey, I don't know. I guess it's a cliche. You can never have too many good outfielders.
Well, you can never have too many good players, but that hasn't been much of an issue here for the past 15 years or so. I do think I came up with something. If they do trade for Lindor, I've got the next story you can write. Fernando Tatis moves to first base.
That would cause a furor.
I'm seeing it now. Fernando Tatis goes over to first base and I don't know, maybe he platoons with Hosmer. That would probably go over really well if that happened. But no, I mean, it's, you know, we talk about all this now and then one phone call and one trade and everything changes. But speaking of trades, and here's a segue for you, Cal Quantrill was announced today as the opening day starter for the Cactus League on Saturday, I believe that is. Is that the first thing I thought of was, oh, it's a showcase. But at the same time, I know how ridiculous that is, because obviously if the Red Sox are going to trade for Cal Quantrill, they saw him last year. There's plenty to go on. But it did strike me as funny that he was going to get the first shot in the spring. But he seems like a guy that could be on the move to sort of entice the Red Sox to take on some of that Will Myers money. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, evidently he was going to be a part of the Mookie Betts deal, and the Red Sox really like him. And evidently it is the Red Sox who, you know, if not initiated this new round of talks that involved Will Myers, they were really into it. And they like Adrian Morejon as well, Luis Campusano, the catching prospect, and Gabriel Arias, the shortstop. They're not getting all those.
I was going to say, that's an awful lot right there. I think you're certainly better off eating Will Myers' money than giving up that many prospects.
Right,
that,
but you've got to have sort of moving parts.
Right.
Because you're trying to get them to come up from, you know, say $20 million of Will's money to $30 million. The Padres have always said, you're going to need to take at least half. You're going to need to take half of Will's money. Now, it was more than that because they were going to have to pay Mookie Betts some more. But for this, like, they don't want to have $10 million in dead money there. But they do have what the Red Sox want, and that's young talent. Because the Red Sox, probably next week, are going to lose draft picks.
Right, right.
You know, the penalty from their own cheating episode, and we get to talk more about cheating some more. Yay!
Yeah. but no, I mean, that I do think, and I don't blame the Red Sox for liking Cal Quantrill. I thought there were a lot of times last year where he looked like a really good prospect, and the thing I liked about him, as much as, you know, I could tell from never having spoken with him, but just watching him and reading some of the comments, he didn't seem to mind whether he started, if he was in the rotation or if he was in the bullpen. I remember that we talked about it once on here last year, that he had a great quote about, just give me the ball and pitching's pitching, was basically the quote. I don't care what inning it is. I don't care about anything. I'm out there to pitch and get guys out. And I thought that was a pretty good comment from him. And there were times last year where he showed a lot of not just flashes, but a lot of signs of why he – you know,
yeah,
why he was taken where he was taken in the draft. So I think that's not a guy that I would necessarily be crazy about giving up if I was the Padres. But again, we don't know what's involved in the deal the other way either. I mean, the Padres aren't just sending all this talent to Boston and only getting back dealing with Myers money. They're obviously going to get somebody back as well. So we don't know what's involved with that. But that would certainly be, another thing to keep an eye on as we move forward. Games start on Saturday. When do you think we'll see some of the guys like Tatis and Machado and Hosmer and those guys? When will they be in the lineup?
Well, I tried to get that out of Jace Tingler, who does not say much. He reminds me of covering football.
Oh, no.
But I have a suspicion it will be earlier than we have in the past. First of all, Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer had just signed at the start of the last two spring trainings. But they were here earlier, too. So they're in game shape. Now, still, you're not going to overwork your guys. But I think it'll be earlier, maybe like the beginning of the week when you would see the real lineup. But they have a lot of outfielders to run through, so you'll start to see, you know, Will Myers in there, Trent Grisham. They got guys that need to get innings, and so there won't be any danger in overworking them through the spring. You're also going to see a lot of young relievers, because there's 6 to 10 of them that you would, you know, you wouldn't laugh if I said their names and said, no, these guys have a chance, even though there's probably one, maybe two spots, possibly open in the bullpen. There's a heck of a lot of guys that are competing for spots on the major league roster, in AAA, because, as we know, those guys rotate up to the major league. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, showcase them for other teams, because the Padres are probably going to move one or two of those guys if they find the right deal before spring to help them out. As a matter of fact, you know, one or two could be on the move to the Reds to get Nick Senzel.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, there's always – and there's attrition that always happens. I mean,
uh-huh.
You know, we talked about last week, you're not just going to say, here's the eight relievers, and these are going to be the eight guys that are going to be in the bullpen here in 5 weeks. So there's always that. So I know that's on your radar as well to look forward. And of course, I think one of the other fascinating guys to watch, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about him next week, is Franchi Cordero. Just to see what, you know, is this the year that it finally happens?
Yes, though, I mean, without a doubt, and I'll be writing about him early in the week, and I love to watch Franchi. Why? Because he's an amazing player. He is almost, do not fire me. He is almost Fernando Tatis Jr. However, much more than Fernando Tatis Jr., who just had 84 games in his rookie season because of injuries, Franchi can't stay on the field.
Right.
He does not have the plate discipline that Tatis has. There are things. I'm just saying the tools are legit. The problem is we can have the greatest spring and be done the first week of the season. Oh, wait, that happened last year. He could have a fine first couple of months and be out. Oh, wait, that happened the year before. Tommy Pham, who played with him in the Dominican Republic, is maybe his biggest fan. Pham is Franchi's biggest fan. Say that five times fast. Okay. He says Franchi's the X factor in the outfield. I thought, Tommy, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, no, I think that's, if he could, that's one of those gigantic ifs. If he could stay on the field and, and get a little bit more plate discipline. I mean, we've seen what he can do at times, and if he could do that for 100 and even just 120 games, not even being greedy or anything, that would make such a big difference with this club, and it would allow some flexibility in terms of how Grisham is used, and I mean it would just change everything if you could have him against
righties, and this guy gets 400 plate appearances, and he hits for amazing power. He runs. I mean, every double can be a triple almost.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, we will we'll end it here, and we'll leave you to the first weekend of Cactus League games. I know it's always a big moment for everyone down there. At least it's kind of baseball, and I haven't even looked at the TV schedule to know what's on, but we'll make a note of that in one of your notebooks here in the next day or two as to when their first TV game is for people to check it out themselves. I'm sure a lot of people will be heading over, probably already headed over to Arizona. Others will be going over the next 5 weeks. And I was right near the ballpark today for lunch, and realized that we are just tomorrow is the 5 weeks away from opening day. But Kevin, we will do this again next week, and until then, we'll thank everyone for listening, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.